From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. In Iraq, a suicide bomber struck a funeral near the northern city of Kirkuk today. At least 49 Iraqis were killed and more than 50 others were wounded. It was one of the deadliest bombings in Iraq in weeks. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports from Baghdad.
Police and Interior Ministry officials say a suicide bomber attacked a large funeral tent in a village outside Kirkuk in Diyala province. The funeral was for two sons of a Sunni tribal leader who's leading the local Awakening, or Sons of Iraq, Council. These U.S.-backed tribal Sunni security forces have been key to American efforts to counter al-Qaeda in Iraq, an Islamist extremist group comprised mainly of Iraqis that the U.S. military believes is foreign-led. Today's huge bombing follows a string of deadly attacks earlier in the week in Sunni areas where Awakening councils are strong, including bombings in Ramadi and a suicide bombing in Bakuba on Tuesday. Those bombings killed more than 50 Iraqis. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Baghdad.
The two Democratic candidates for president faced off in a debate aired on ABC last night. The questions and interchange homed in on both of their vulnerabilities. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
For most of the first 45 minutes, it was Barack Obama who was on the defensive. Both the moderators and Hillary Clinton focused on his comments about bitter small-town voters, the incendiary statements of his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, his acquaintance with a former member of the Weather Underground, and even his decision not to wear an American flag lapel pin.
I have never said that I don't wear flag pins or refuse to wear flag pins. This is the kind of manufactured issue that our politics has become obsessed with.
Senator Clinton was pressed about her story about landing in Bosnia under sniper fire. She admitted she hadn't told the truth.
You know, I'm embarrassed by it. I have apologized for it. I've said it was a mistake.
Pennsylvania Democrats go to the polls next Tuesday. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Philadelphia.
Obama and Clinton also both promised not to raise taxes on people making less than $200,000 per year. Both candidates said they would make good on promises to start pullout of American troops from Iraq, even if military leaders counseled against it.
Walk humbly, son, and store your pride.
At a candlelight vigil at Virginia Tech last night, this choir sang in memory of the 32 students shot and killed by another student in a classroom a year ago. Officials estimate up to 30,000 people showed up for the vigil, which was one of many small and large memorial services on the campus in Blacksburg, Virginia. Pope Benedict will celebrate Mass at the Nationals Baseball Stadium in Washington, D.C. this morning before tens of thousands of worshipers. European markets opened higher today, and stock markets in Asia closed higher. This is NPR News. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is scheduled to meet with President Bush in Washington this afternoon, and this morning he's scheduled to meet at the British Embassy with each of the three major presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John McCain. Brown is officially neutral regarding the U.S. election. He has for the moment put a halt to plans to withdraw more British troops from Iraq because of instability in the south of the country where they are stationed. The former mayor of New Jersey's largest city has been convicted on corruption charges. From member station WBGO in Newark, David Cruz reports.
Former Newark Mayor Sharp James was found guilty of illegally using his influence to steer cheap city land to co-defendant Tamika Riley, his former mistress. The charges against James, who served five terms as mayor and three terms as a powerful state senator, included fraud, conspiracy, and mail fraud. Riley was also convicted of tax evasion and tax fraud. U.S. Attorney Chris Christie called James arrogant and dishonest.
For 36 years, Sharp James reigned over this city, and today he is taught the lesson that for those who disgrace their public office, there is only one place left for you, and that is federal prison.
James now faces up to 8 years in prison when he's sentenced in July. For NPR News, I'm David Cruz in Newark.
The Supreme Court has ruled the most common method of lethal injection for executions is legal. Justice has turned aside a constitutional challenge to the three-drug protocol used in Kentucky and other states. The court also heard arguments yesterday over whether the rape of children should be punishable by execution. That case tests the limits of the use of the death penalty for crimes other than murder. I'm Paul Brown in Washington.